Thank you for joining Truth in Love Ministries, where we exist to connect people to God, to connect people to their God-given purpose, and to connect this church to the community. We would love to hear how God is blessing you as a result of this ministry. Connect with us on Facebook at Truth in Love Jax, or visit us on the web at truthinlove.tv, where you will also find our weekly broadcast. On the go and want to know what's going on at Truth in Love? Simply visit your mobile app store and download the Truth in Love app and get information on services, events, and even messages right at your fingertips. Tune in now where the message is already in progress.
Verse number 7, Nehemiah 4:7. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Ariabus, Amorites, and Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were going up and that the breaches were being closed, they were very angry. Let us say amen to reading of God's word. This morning I'm going to teach, I'm going to preach, but it's stalled in our hearts and in our minds, repairing the breach. Repairing the breach. Father, we ask you to bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. As you be seated, say, help me to repair the breach. Help me to repair the breach. Help me to repair the breach. For the past several weeks, we've been diving in this book of Nehemiah. And it has been very, very beneficial. It's been very impacting in all of our lives as we look at this ancient man of God by the name of Nehemiah, who simply heard what was going on back in his hometown, or the town that, of his origin. He heard what was going on. He heard that the walls had not been built back up. Here, the people of God had been back in Jerusalem for some 100 years now. And now all they did was they did rebuild the temple, but the completion or the total whole thing, the whole big picture was not totally completed. The thing that God sent them back originally to do, the thing that God allowed them and gave them clearance and gave them what it was that they needed in order to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, had not been done. Here Nehemiah, he caught wind and he heard about what it was that needed to be done. And the Bible said because of this, Nehemiah, he was sad in front of the king. The king said to Nehemiah, we looked and talked about this a few weeks ago. Nehemiah was sad before the king, and the king said, what in the world is wrong with you? And Nehemiah, I'm cobardizing. Nehemiah said, how can I be happy when my city lies in ruins? How can I be okay with everything that's going on back home? And Nehemiah got clearance. He got access. Says, here it is, Nehemiah got favor from the king to be able to go back and repair the walls. Here, the walls in every place, and I think this is very interesting, the walls in every single place or in every single spot was not totally destroyed, but no, the walls in some places had some breaches in them. The walls in some places, it had not totally been burnt to the ground, but yet and still it was not fortified. It did not give the city the security that it needed. It did not give the city the type of fortification that was needed to have some walls. If you do not have any walls in your city, if you don't have any walls around the place that you call home in your residence, then here the enemy can march in and out of your city anytime he gets ready to do. The enemy walls are significant. Walls are symbolic of not only just the presence of God, but walls are also significant as relates to security. Here, where there is no walls, there's no defense. Where there's no walls, here the enemy can penetrate and go in and out of the city and go and loot and do whatever he needs to do. But here Nehemiah just wasn't concerned with rebuilding the walls, but Nehemiah was concerned with repairing the breach. There's some breaches in the wall. Let me tell you what a breach is, and maybe you can get on the bandwagon. Let me tell you what a breach is. A breach is simply to make a split or an opening. A breach is to make a split or to make an opening, especially a gap or in a wall or a fortification. That's what a breach is. The breach is to make a split or an opening, especially a gap in a wall or fortification. So here, the wall is there for security. The wall is supposed to be there to stop the enemy. The wall is supposed to be a type of bumper that where the enemy cannot come in whenever he gets ready. But here, not only was the walls torn down, but there were breaches in the wall. I don't know about you. Hopefully you don't think I'm talking about this ancient antiquity wall, that you think I'm just talking about Nehemiah's wall. No, but here I'm talking about some walls or some spaces or some places in our lives that here the enemy has torn down. And because he has torn them down and because there are some breaches, the enemy, just as in the day of Nehemiah, he can walk in and out anytime he get ready. There's some breaches in our life. There's some splits in our life. There is some openings in our life. What do I mean? Because here, if you give the enemy an inch, he will take a mile. If you give the enemy, here I saw on one church sign that you ride down the street, you know, you got little church signs. It said, anytime you give the devil an inch, he wants to be the ruler. Come on, somebody. He wants to be the ruler. An inch, a ruler? No, a ruler. Anyway, here, it was good when I read it. Can I tell you that here, anytime you give the devil an opening, anytime you give the devil a split, he will try to do whatever he can to keep that foothold, to keep that loophole, and then he will be whatever it is that he's trying and attempting to do in our lives. So we must make sure that we don't have any openings in our life. We must make sure we don't have any splits. We got to make sure we don't have any gaps in our life. Let me go a little bit further, but to tell you what else a breach is. A breach here, look what Webster said. Webster says it's an infraction or a violation of a law. An obligation, a tie, or a standard broken. there are some breaches. There's some breaches in the kingdom of God. There's some breaches in our walk with God. Some infractions, some violations, some ties that have been broken, some standards that have been broken or ruptured or torn. Here, look what it says. It says a gap made by battering. Oh, I love that. A gap made by battering. In other words, something breached the wall because of its consistency. Something breached the wall because it kept happening and happening and happening. And here, sometimes that's how the enemy does in our lives. It is his persistence and his consistency that breaks us down. The mere fact that it seems as if I can't get any relief. The mere fact that it seems like I can't get ahead. As soon as I get my head above water, it seems like the floodgates open up again. And all of a sudden, I'm back engulfed in what it was that I thought I had surfaced out of. Here, this is what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, deep calleth unto deep. The psalmist is not talking about deep saints called a deep saint. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's literally in an ocean and he's literally feeling like he's drowning. And he says, the deep calls unto the deep. The waves and the barriers are crashing over me on my life. And here the psalmist says, as soon as I get up and try to gasp for some air, here comes another wave. As soon as I catch my breath, here goes something else. As soon as I think I made it, as soon as I felt like I came out of it, as soon as it felt like I got a little bit of relief, here comes something else. I don't know about you. Have you ever been there in your life that where it seems as if as soon as you get ready to be able to catch your breath, as soon as it looks like you can see the light at the end of the tunnel, as soon as you can be able to see your way, here comes something else. And because of the tenacity of our trials, because of the tenacity of our trouble, here it will cause a breach in our wall. What are some walls? We talked about some walls on Sunday. Last Thursday night, rather, how we talked about having proper doctrine, proper teaching, healthy teaching. This helps us solidify our stance in the things of God. If I don't know about God, if I don't have a proper view of God, then here it is, the enemy can have his way in my life. But when I know about the word and I understand the word and I understand the one that I serve, I understand that I'm saved, I understand the fact that he protects me, I understand the fact that he will pick me up out of the doldrums and the dungeons of life. He'll pick me up and place my feet on a solid ground. Here I will know and have an understanding that no matter how ferocious the winds are, no matter how consistent they are, I don't have to have a breach in my life. Here there's a breach in the walls. And here, let me go further with the definition. It just simply, here, I love the last one. I left that on there on purpose because a breach is also a break in a custom-friendly, I wish the nutty professors were here, they'll say relations. Y'all ain't never sold another fest, I guess. It's okay. Y'all just watch the Word Network. That's fine. Here, there's a break and a custom friendly relationship. Have you ever been in a relationship with somebody and everything was going good? Then all of a sudden there was a breach. Have you been going down, walking down the street, minding your own business, and here you in a loving relationship with someone, not just spousal, but also friends or companions or however y'all determine and all this stuff nowadays. But have you ever been there, minding your own business, then all of a sudden something happened? A look, come on, someone can look at you a particular way. Someone can say something to you, and here they can say it as a joke, so to speak. Say it as a joke, and here they can say that thing and mean that thing. Here they be talking about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. They were telling us that lie way since we was a little boy. Here, that ain't nothing but a lie from the pits of hell. Can I tell you that sticks and stones, they will break your bones, and words do hurt. Come on, somebody. Words do hurt. Somebody can say something to you back in the day. Somebody can say something to you when you was a little girl. Somebody can say something to you when you was a little boy. Somebody can say something to you back in the day, and here that thing can affect you right now. And here, because of the words that was spoken in the marriage, or the words that were spoken between siblings and sisters and brothers and brothers and brothers and sisters and sisters, can I tell you there can be a breach in your family? Oh my God, that's exactly what the devil wants to do. The devil comes to divide. The devil, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants it to be a breach in my family. He wants it to be a breach in my marriage, the way I don't trust my wife. He wants it to be a breach in my family where I don't trust my husband. He wants it to be a breach between me and my family, because here, I know it's on the back of a t-shirt at the family reunion, family that prays together, stay together. But can I tell you, that's more than just something decorative on the back of a t-shirt. That is the truth. Come on here, because when I can pray with you, we can get through anything. When I can pray with you, when we can lay down our pride and lay down our this and our that, here we can pray together. That's why we need to be praying as a family, but not just as a natural family, but as a spiritual family. Because can I tell you, the enemy is trying to find every little loophole, every little breach in the kingdom of God, in Truth and Love Ministry. And he tried to blow it out of proportion, and he tried to take whatever inch we give him. That's why we got the repair. We got to repair the breach. Yes, sir. We got to repair. How do you repair something? How do you repair? Ask me how. Oh, y'all so attentive. God bless you. Thank you for asking me. Look, let me tell you what repair. Repair is to restore. Yes, sir. Repair is to, here, look, by replacing a part or putting together what is torn or broken. I love this, because here, it is not giving you something brand new. Oh, no, but no, to restore or to repair is to take what you have and allow God to build it back up again. Here, my God, they didn't totally wipe the wall all the way down. They didn't totally destroy the entire wall, but no, they put it back together. They took what was left. Good God, that's a word for somebody. They took what was left. They took what they had. They didn't worry about what they didn't have, but they took what was left, and they started from there. Oh my God, here, that's what we got to do in some of our relationships. You can't keep on talking about the past, keep on talking about yesterday, but no, you got to take what you have and start from there. Take the fact that you still there. Take the fact that they still love you. Take the fact that they said they're sorry. Take the fact that they still showing up, and use what you got. Come on here, somebody, and repair it and rebuild it and restore it. Good God, you know I love this one. Look at the second definition: to restore to a sound or a healthy state. Oh yes, sir. You know I love that, because that goes to one of our commitments. That goes to our third commitment. We're committed to holistic living. That's what we're about. We're committed to repairing. That's what God has called us. I told somebody the other day, oh my God, our nickname is the Rebound Church. Come on, somebody, because we got so many individuals that have been hurt from so many other places in their life. They come from other spheres of influence, and here they come here and they're hurt. They come from other churches and they were hurt. They come from where their pastor had hurt them. They come from different places and they hurt. And here, can I tell you that we call, my nickname is the Rebound Church. And what God wants us to do, God wants us to be to the place that where we're holistic living. Not just talking about being holy. Yeah, you should be holy, but that's not what that's talking about. That's talking about holistic living. Not the way you just know how to have have good church. Oh, that's just one part of life. Not that you just know how to sing and shout and dance. No. That way you can be healthy mentally. You can be healthy emotionally. You can be healthy spiritually. You can be healthy financially. You can be healthy relational, holistic living. That where nothing is missing. Nothing is broken. I'm talking about repairing the breach. And some of us, oh, we know how to have good church, but we just don't know how to like somebody. Oh, we know how to have good church. We know how to dance, but then we just mean as a junkyard dog. Y'all ain't gonna help me say nothing in here. Can I tell you that we know how to have good church, but we can't pay our bills on time? Oh my God, we know how to have good church, but here we just not even good friends. Come on, can you just be a good friend? Can you just not talk about me? Can you just support me? Can you be with me? Can I tell you that we need to be holistic in every part of our life? What else does repair mean? Repair means to make good or to compensate for. Good God, to remedy or to mend, to compensate for. My God, I remember I always talk about my auntie Frances back there. I used to hate going to my auntie's house. Good God, because she be so mean when I was little. My God, y'all ain't never had no mean auntie or no mean uncle. They always shovel you over there. She say, sit down and be quiet. Sit down and say, cut that TV down. We sitting right in front of the TV like this with a down low, got our ear to the TV. And she said, cut that TV down. I work at night. I can't. Y'all, and here what auntie used to do. Auntie used to make this thing. I call it goulash. Y'all ain't gonna help me. I don't know what it was, but she take a little bit of this and a little bit of that and put it in the pot, mix it up, throw some white rice on there. Come on, here, somebody. And here's lunch is served. I thought I was in an orphanage, and she throws some porridge on me or something. Can I tell you that here she said, take, she said, compensate for what she had. She didn't have no filet mignon. We couldn't chase it down with no Don Perignon, but she'll take what she had and she'll compensate. My God, I'm trying to help somebody repair some stuff today. The way you can take whatever you got, take your little bit, take the little meal in a barrel. Oh, yeah, take that little meal in a barrel and do what you need to do, and God can work with what you have. Stop talking about what you don't got and work with what you have. Stop talking about who you don't have and work with what you have. You gotta learn how to compensate, how to repair, how to restore with what God has given you. You can make it work with what you got. Yes, you can. I gotta keep going. I'm just giving you definitions, and I'm already preaching too hard. Let me tell you, I'm trying to repair the breach. Who wants to repair the breach? Who wants to repair the breach? You want to repair the breach? Okay, all right, that was good. That's good. Let me tell you, are you sure? Are you sure? Because I'm going to tell you the first thing you need to do. We can repair the breach. Here's on the screen. When we get delivered from people. Are you sure you want to repair the breach? Because I tell you, boy, we let people stop us. We let people hinder us. We let people get us to the point that where we don't move and we don't occupy, we don't do what God has called us to do because of people. My God. Oh, I heard somebody say that I love mankind. It's just people I don't like. Come on, somebody. Oh my God, it's people a rain on your parade. People a mess up your cornflakes. I can't give you that adage how they say it. People will do something to you and tell you it's raining outside. My God, people will do something. Y'all ain't gonna help me. People will mess you up. You'll be having a good day walking down the street minding your own business, and people will get on your nerve. But you got to learn how to get delivered from people. Do you want to repair the breach? You got to learn how to get prepared, get delivered from people. Because if you just sit there and let people bother you, you'll never repair. Look, let me go to the Bible. Let me let the Bible speak here. Look at Nehemiah chapter 3, verse number 1. It says, then the high priest rose up with his brothers, the priests, and built the sheep gate. Look, the high priest, they consecrated it and set its doors. They consecrated it as far as the tower of the 100 and the far as the tower of Hineel. Oh my God. See, you said, Pastor, what is that? What's that all about? See, you missed it. It's the fact that this, the high priest... See, the high priest was exempt from manual labor. The high priest, his job was to minister in the temple. The high priest's responsibility was not to be out there working with them, building up a wall. No, he's the high priest. He could be in the temple, in the tabernacle, and here can be in there worshiping and serving and ministering. But here, whenever it is you got a real breach, whenever it is you got real trouble in your life, can I tell you that even the leaders would come down and get in the ditch with you whenever it is you're trying to repair a breach. Come on here. In order for you to repair the breaches in your life, you can't can't look at your position. You can't look at your tenure. You can't look at the fact that how long you've been saved and how long you've been walking with God, how long you've been a member of a particular church, and here think that you're exempt from doing the work. But no, here it is, especially when we come together in the house of God and we're trying to repair some breaches in our local church. It doesn't matter how much you know. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. It doesn't matter because you went to Candyland Temple for 20 years. It doesn't matter you went to House Holiness for 55 years. It don't matter if you went to Bedside Baptist for 19 years, 7 months, and 3 weeks. Come on here, somebody. You got to know that it's time to repair the breach. You, what I wish Janet would say, she'll tell you, what have you done for me lately? Come on, you got to ask. Stop talking about what you did last year, last church, last pastor, and talk about what you're doing right now. Come on here, somebody. We got to learn how to repair the breach. And in order to do that, you got to be delivered from people. You can't worry about what people say about you. You can't worry about, oh, they must be going through. No, mama. When I'm going through, when I come in the house of God and I desire to worship, my God, I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care who got something to say, because you don't have a heaven to take me to and you don't have a hell to send me to. Oh, my God. But when I come to the house of God, oh, my God, I come to worship him. I enter into his gates with thanksgiving. I enter his courts with praise, and I'm thankful unto him and I bless his holy name. A few weeks ago, I dropped down on the altar and I was just worshiping, and the intercessors, they meant well. They over there praying for me. They over there patting me on the back. They meant well. They doing what they supposed to do. But I'm like, man, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm just worshiping the Lord. Come on here, somebody. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Come on here. I just think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he done for me. Then my soul cries out, hallelujah. Oh, my God, when you going through for real, you don't got time to be cute. When you're going through for real, you don't got time to worry about what people, they going to think this or they going to think that. Who cares what people say? It's time to repair the breach. It's time to work. It's time to do what God has called us to do. Y'all, look at this thing. Look. Look at this, y'all. Let me read another verse. We're trying to repair the breach. You got to be delivered from people. Verse 2 says, look, oh my God, I love this. Look at verse 2. And look what it says. Read it with me, the first part. And next to him, the high priest was working. He didn't care about his position. He was working. And here, next to him, the men of Jericho from another town, from another city, they did what? Built. And what does it say? And next to them was the car and the son of Amari. Yeah, built. Look at verse 3. And it says that the sons of that dude built the fish gate. And they lay. I ain't finna play with y'all today with these names. It says, and they lay its beams and set doors, its bolts, and its bars. Oh, I love this. Look at verse 4. And next to them. Y'all ain't helping me here. Look what I'm trying to show you, a picture. They're repairing the breach. They're rebuilding the wall. And here every person had their spot. Every person was doing their part. Here the high priest was working, and the Bible said next to him it was somebody else. Here this person was working, and it said next to him somebody else was doing something. Come on here. I'm trying to tell you that they were strategically placed. Here they didn't worry about where they were. They were just working where they were. They didn't care about what the next person was doing next to him. This whole chapter 3. Read it when you get a chance. It said next to him, next to him, next to him, next to him, next to him. Y'all, to side eye your neighbor, just see who's sitting next to you. Come on, you don't gotta look all the way at him, just kind of side eye and see who working next to you. See who's sitting next to you and see are they sleeping or not. You ought to tell him, oh no, you can't sleep on my row. Oh no, this overflow row. I need everything around me praying. I need everything around me giving God some glory. Oh, y'all looking side eye your neighbor. If they're on Facebook, y'all say, you can't be on Facebook around me. I don't need that Facebook devil to jump off on me. Come on here. And next to him, they were working with each other. They were serving with one another. And the Bible said they kept on building. And they built it together. Oh my God, I feel this thing. But with all of that, look at verse 5. There's always some jokers. Look, let me tell you about these jokers. Look, it says verse 5. I'm not making it up. Here it says, and next to them, them brothers, the teal kites. The teal kites. Yeah. The core kites. Yeah. They repaired. You say tomato, I say tomato. I'm trying to preach here. I got time to play with y'all. It said repaired. Look. But their nobles will not stoop to serve their Lord. You got everybody doing what they're supposed to do. And then now you got the nobles. You got those that are just too dignified to start doing anything. See, I heard a great man of God say, See, whenever it is you establish order in the house of God, order in the house of God. And here, disorderly conduct sticks up like a sore thumb. Whenever you establish order, everybody's working. Everybody's doing their part. Everybody's doing what God has called them to do. And then you got somebody say, oh, no, I can't do that. That sticks out like a sore thumb when everybody is working. Everybody's loving God. Everybody trying to be in their place. Everybody trying to do what God has called them to do. But then you got some nobles. Say, oh, no, no, I did all that. Now, you 20 years ago, now, maybe I would have